live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. You may be seated across the building today. We want to look here for the next few Sundays. I've got a series, a brand new series that I want to share with you today. And the title of my message in this series is called Rooted and Rising Series. Rooted and Rising Series. And this is going to be a series on growth and development with our Christian walk every day. And we need growth. We need to grow in the Lord. And to do that, there are vital tools that the Lord gives us through Scripture to help us grow day by day. I've always said God doesn't want us to be spiritual babies. Now, when you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, you become a spiritual babe. But God doesn't want you to stay there as a spiritual babe. God wants you to grow and mature. For the Apostle Paul says, I can't give you the meat of the Word until you've gone through the growing part of understanding the basic things that you need in your spiritual walk with God. And as you begin to see the tools that you need to grow as a Christian, to grow as a disciple, then guess what? Your roots will begin to get deeper in the soil, and then you will begin to rise higher and higher in your spiritual walk and the level that God would want you to go. Because God does not want us to be where that we're not equipped. He doesn't want us to be where we're not growing. He wants us growing on a daily basis. And so I want us to look at this, and we'll be doing this for quite a while. So let your family, let your friends know. If you miss a service, you'll know that you'll be able to go back and you'll be able to see it live. Or it will be recorded, will be live every Sunday morning, but you will be able to look at this as well. And I want to say today, not to put a bouquet on me by no means of anything, but it is on Spotify, and it is on other areas of audio, not just video, so you'll be able to hear this on the go. If you can't watch it, you can hear it, but I believe this will be a good thing, and it'll be very vital for you and I, including myself, to learn more and to know more of how the Lord is wanting us to be rooted and grounded and rising high as well. So the title of my first message today on the Rooted and Rising series will be Grow in Grace. And if you'll go with me to 2 Peter, the New Testament, the 3rd chapter, beginning with the 18th verse. 2 Peter 3 and 18, grow in grace. And we're going to look at this a little bit. 2 Peter 3:18, and give you just a second there to get there. And we're going to go right into this. Second Peter 3 and 18. God's Word says this, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Let me read this again. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Now, as we look at this passage here, as it talks about the growth. It talks about growing in the grace, growing in the mercy of our Lord and Savior. In other words, God sees our shortcomings. He sees where we're weak. He sees where the temptation comes. He sees where the testing comes in our life. And a lot of times there are hard knocks that you and I go through day by day and things that will come our way that we may not see what's happening about tomorrow or the next week or the next month. But God already knows. He knows what you're about to go through. He knows what you're about to face. He knows what you're going to deal with. But here is the key that I want you to see this. I want you to know that as God sees us as we are, when we begin to surrender to Him and say, Lord, I acknowledge You that I cannot do this on my own, then You will begin to grow in grace because God sees that you can't handle what you're going through. So therefore, God begins to fight your battle because the battle is not yours. The battle is God's. And so there again, God says, if you'll lean on Me, I will carry you and take you through this. And the Bible says, not only will you grow in grace of mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you will grow in the knowledge. In other words, He's going to give you the knowledge as He begins to help you. It's almost like a father taking care of a child. A child can't take care of itself when it's just a babe. It depends on its father. It depends on its mother. But as that child grows, the child begins to see that its daddy is nurturing him, that the mother is nurturing him. In other words, he's getting old enough to know who takes care of him. You see, a baby doesn't understand who's taking care of them because they're at the mercy of whoever will take care of them. But as they get older, guess what? The child begins to see and he has the knowledge to know that God is going to be there with him, but he's also going to know that daddy's going to be there, that mama's going to be there, that somebody's going to take care of them. That's why God says you will grow in grace, you will grow in the knowledge, for you will know what the Lord is doing in your life as you grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. And guess what? And the Scriptures will say, to Him, capitalized, God Almighty, to Him be the glory both now, what you're going through now, what you're dealing through now, and now and forever. In other words, God's not going to leave you. God's not just going to help you in a jam and walk away from your situation. He's going to be there in the eye of the storm. He's going to be in your situation. He is going to be in your best interests. Listen, the Christian life begins with a birth. Upon receiving Christ, we're born again. In other words, we have accepted Jesus into our hearts and life. John 1 and 12 says this, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God. And to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. God brought His Son so that the challenges that you and I have and that we face, we can lean on the Lord Jesus Christ, for He says what? Grow in grace. Grow in the knowledge. Know that your God is not wasting time with you, nor is He wasting time of Himself, but He is pouring Himself in you. And you may say, well, Pastor, how is Jesus, God Almighty, pouring Himself into me? He did this over 2,000 years ago on the cross when He gave His one and only Son. He poured Himself into you that you would have freedom and that you would have what you have. have today, it is by the grace of God and His mercy. And that's how much love God loves you and I that we'll never begin to understand. But all we can do is just receive the blessings and know that God is wanting us to grow. He doesn't want us to be stagnated. He doesn't want us to be sitting in a cesspool. He doesn't want us to be the way we are now and be like we are forever. No, He wants to show us great and mighty things in your life. And I want you to know this today. Listen, we see a prime example in John's Gospel in the third chapter when we saw Nicodemus. He became a newborn creature. In other words, he wanted to receive Jesus Christ into his heart and life. Yet he knew about Jesus. He taught about God. He taught about this. He did this. He did great things. But he did not have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is a point where that God is wanting us to have that relationship with Him, not just Sunday morning, not just Wednesday night, but on a daily basis, He wants to communicate with us. This is what separates the gospel from religion. Let me say it again. This is what separates the gospel from religion. Everybody can have religion, but do we have the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have we made that profession of faith? Have we made a change? Are we growing? And so through this series, I want you to ask yourself as you hear this, am I growing in Jesus? Am I growing? And that's one of those questions that we have to ask ourselves. Are we growing in the Lord? I know we're all getting older. We're all growing as far as that goes. But are we spiritually growing? Or do we have the growth of the Lord Jesus Christ in our heart and life? Are we growing in the Lord? Listen, religion is man's effort to reach up to God. Salvation is God coming down to man and making him a new creation. Let me say that again. Religion is man's effort to try to reach up to God. But salvation is God coming down to man and making him a new creation. And that's what God wants. God wants to see development. He wants to see growth in our hearts and in our lives. After birth, we realize that growth begins. When you came from your mother, growth begins. When a child comes from a mother, a babe comes into this world brand new, and the doctor spanks that bottom and brings air into that child, that baby begins to haul a howl or a hard, loud sound, a screeching sound that you begin to hear in the room of the doctors and nurses. And guess what? Life begins. And when life begins, growth doesn't stop. When life begins, growth starts happening. Action begins to happen. Arms and legs get bigger and everything begins to move in a mighty way. Why? Because this is what God has already designed. And yet God, not only physically, but spiritually, wants to see us grow spiritually as well. My first point today is this. What is growth in grace? What is growth in grace? Let me say what it is not. It is not becoming more saved than at the moment of conversion. It is not becoming more pardoned than when we're converted. It's not becoming more justified than at salvation. What Christian growth is when I speak of growth in grace, I mean increasing in the degree and size and strength, vigor and power of the grace, which is the Holy Spirit, and it plants it in the believer's heart. In other words, it's not just coming to a faith-saving base and that's it. It's not just to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and that's it. There's more to it than just accepting Jesus Christ in your heart and life. To some, people want to be saved and satisfied. In other words, people want to be saved. I want to come to know the Lord Jesus. Yes, I know the Lord Jesus, and that's all. But you cannot just be saved and that's it. There's great and mighty things that God is wanting you to do more than just asking Him into your heart and life. There are things that He's wanting you and instructing you and I to do. In other words, to be servants, to be disciples, to understand that it's not just so much about us, but it's about others. It's about knowing Christ and making Him known. It's about sharing with others and allowing the growth and development to take place in our lives so that we can see others grow as well. See, it's not just about you growing in Christ. It's not just about me growing in Christ, but it's about our family and our friends to be aware of their growth and their development that needs to take place in their heart and in their life. Because we want to be rooted, as you see the roots of this tree being projected here. You see how many roots that it is to hold this tree and to establish this tree. This tree, as we look at this example, is established. That tree has been there for quite a long time. And you see a lot of roots in this tree. And it's because it's weathered the storms. It has fought through a lot of different things. But its roots are so intact into the ground and they've gone so deep that when a storm comes and when it hits that tree, it is able to withstand the things that it comes against. That's the same way it is in our spiritual walk with God. Our roots need to be so deep that as the roots get deeper, the higher we rise and the more that we grow, because our roots get deeper and deeper and deeper. And that's what God is wanting us to do, is to have our roots deep into His Word, deep into our heart and lives, so that when the enemy does come, that we are prepared and ready to fight against the enemy when he wars against our soul. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. Listen, consider the expectations of physical growth. And a child begins to grow. A flower begins to grow. A tree begins to grow. The gardener and his garden, he begins to work the soil. He begins to plow. He begins to sow. He begins to do the things. Why? Because he wants to see a harvest. He wants to reap a harvest. All through South Carolina, we are a big peach farm. We have a lot of peaches, and they tell me that actually South Carolina grows more peaches than Georgia does. But Georgia seems to be the peach capital. But there are a lot of peach orchards in South Carolina, especially in Andrews, South Carolina, or Johnson, South Carolina. Matter of fact, it's the biggest peach orchard, I believe, in America. And there is a lot of peaches out there. But for us to enjoy those peaches on those acres, and for them to go out there and to pick those peaches by hand and put them in baskets and stuff, there is a lot of work that goes into it before you can reap that harvest. I've seen them out there in busloads. They are pruning these peaches up, and they're tying them up ready for the winter and pruning to get ready for a harvest. And if you don't do all the preparations while watering and pruning and getting it, you're not going to reap that harvest. But when it does come, and when you have pruned, and when you have done everything that you know to do to have a tree to produce the peaches, then you will reap a harvest. God is wanting you to reap a harvest. He does not want you to just barely get by in life. He doesn't want you to go from paycheck to paycheck. He doesn't want you to barely squeeze through. God is a God that wants to unleash all great and mighty things upon you, and it's never for us to live from this to that and starve from this to that and struggle from this and that. David says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor have I ever seen them begging for bread, because he is letting us know if we stay rooted and grounded in the Word of God and our roots run deep, he is going to take care of us, and when the storms of life come, we will be able to handle anything that comes our way. Listen, let's consider the Bible evidence of growth in men. Peter, for one, from backsliding to blessings. He basically told Jesus, I'm not going to forsake you, Lord. And Jesus already knew he was going to do it. He did it three times. Oh, he denied Jesus. I don't know him. I've never been around him. But he was called out on it. But guess what? God loved him. God began to continue to work with him. He didn't throw him to the sidelines. He continued to invest in him, and he wanted to see growth. And guess what? That's why 1 and 2 Peter got written. It was all out of Peter's words. See, that's another thing. God is not going to neglect you and stop doing what he says he will do. The Apostle Paul, he got struck from the road of Damascus to the Roman road. And yet clearly he was the killer. He was Saul before he became Paul. He became a killer. He killed the Christians. He crucified them. Tried to extinguish all the Christians. But guess what? God struck him on the road of Damascus and said, why are you going against the pricks, Paul? Why are you going against me? And blindness was struck. But guess what? God wanted him because he saw all the effort that he was trying to kill out the Christians. God says, well, I can take all that energy that you're trying to do and I can turn it around for the good for what I want you to do, Paul. And that's exactly right. And that's why he's wrote the majority of the epistles in the Bible. So God can take a killer and turn him around for the good and do the good things, because that's what God does. That's what God can and he will do. And understand, it is the growth in grace. It is growing in grace. You and I would probably write people off if they were killers. We would write people off if they were this and that and the other. But that's the grace of God. That's the mercy of God. That's what God sees. That's what God knows. And that's what God will do for you and I even today. Even as we see John, which was known as the Son of Thunder, to the disciple of the loved one. See, God lets us know that through others and things that has happened through the past, that he loves them with a grace of mercy, and he understands exactly what you and I are going through. My second point today is this. What are the evidence of the growth? What are the evidence of the growth? Growth. It increases and increases love. 1 Thessalonians 3 and 12, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all. 1 Thessalonians 4 and 9, but concerning, brethren, love you have, no need that I should write to you, for yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And indeed, you do so towards all the brethren who are even in Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more. In other words, the love of God, because of the love of God, of his grace, that we grow in grace. Therefore, he is wanting us to understand that we must love one another. What is this? Jesus clearly says, there's a new commandment I write to you. There's a new commandment I'm going to put on your heart. Not just the Ten Commandments, but there's a new commandment, that you love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and strength, and that you love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, these stand over all commands that you begin, because He wants to write something in your heart. He doesn't want you to read it from a distance. He doesn't want you to hear it from a distance, but He wants you to live it out. He wants you to experience it, because that's growing in grace. That is growing in grace. By this shall all men know that you are My disciples. John 13 and 35. By this all we will know that you are My disciples if you have love one for another. This is growing in grace. How we know that we have passed from death to life? 1 John 3 and 14. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. And he who does not love his brother abides in what? In death. We've got to love our brothers. We've got to love our enemies. We've got to love them. When they despitefully use you, when they do everything they can, we are to love them. You say, well, Pastor, how can I love somebody when somebody's sticking a dagger in my back, so to speak? How can I love them? Listen, we just need to do what Jesus said do, because vengeance are Mine, Jesus says, saith the Lord, I will take care of those. And that's what we have to do, folks, because that's growing in grace. That's growing in grace. That's growing in mercy. All Jesus has asked us to do is to do what He said do, and we're to follow what He said do, and Jesus will handle the rest. Oh, but Pastor, you don't know what they've said. You don't know what they've done. Listen, don't worry about that. Don't worry about what they said. Don't worry about what they've done. Just do what Jesus said do, and Jesus will handle the rest. He'll take care of the rest, because it's not your battle, it's His battle, and it's for Him to fight that battle for you. Listen, we've got to increase in our faith. 2 Thessalonians 1 and 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abound towards each other, that your faith grows exceedingly. Your faith, you are growing. You are growing in Christ. You are growing in Christ. You're no longer to stay a babe. You're no longer to have a bottle in your mouth all the time. You've got to get past that. You've got to begin to go from the bottle. You've got to begin to get the Gerber baby food. I remember growing up, and still to this day, I remember my mother used to feed me the Gerber baby food, and bananas was my favorite. And today, bananas are still my favorite fruit. I love bananas in any way. I'll eat them fried, I'll eat them raw, whatever it is. I love bananas. But my mother, I remember her feeding me Gerber bananas. And I remember that. You know, it was in a little jar. Now they're in packs now. I think they're my nephews had them in little packs now that they can eat out of. But it was a jar and had the little Gerber baby on the front of it. But I remember eating that banana food. And I went from a bottle to small foods like that. And then, you know, you had your peas and your carrots and all of that stuff. And then as you get older, then you start getting other stuff. But as you get older, you don't go back to the bottle. You don't go back to the baby food. You go into something else. Why? Because your body has been developed. Your body can handle more. It can handle more solid food. It can handle. You'll be able to digest. You can't give a baby a T-bone steak. You can't give a baby a baked potato. You can't give a baby that. Why? Because they've got to have small stuff and soft stuff, because teeth has not been developed. The digestive system has not developed to dissolve the stuff that they eat. But as you get older, you develop that. So what is that saying? That is saying that you are growing. So God is saying for us spiritually to grow in grace, to know as you are growing, extend grace to everybody else that's around you. Because why? Jesus has extended grace to you. Now it's you to extend grace to others. That causes you to grow. And you're growing in the knowledge of what Jesus Christ is wanting you to do. Again, how we know that we're passing? How do we know that we're doing what needs to be done? What great promise attends this fruit of the Spirit? Because most of us are but in the kindergarten of faith. And we've got to grow from that kindergarten faith. And we've got to increase in Jesus Christ. Increase in the knowledge of God. Colossians 1 and 10. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing. Look at this with me. Fruitful in every good work and not decreasing, but increasing in the knowledge of God. So as you're growing in grace, you are now growing in the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, and you're increasing. You're increasing. It's amazing what our cell phones are now. It's nothing but a computer in our hands. It's a library in your hands. I don't have to step my foot into a library. I used to years ago. I don't have to step my foot in a library because all I've got to do is pull up my iPhone and I can look up anything I want in the world. I can ask Siri anything I want it to ask and she will give me an answer. That's how much our technology. Now just think about this. You couldn't have done this 40 years ago. But here we are now asking Siri and asking her anything and she's telling us. I mean, it is at the point where AI, which is artificial intelligence, we can speak with artificial intelligence and they can tell us whatever we want to know. That's the knowledge that you and I have. Now, I want to look at this spiritually. God has the same knowledge for you and I spiritually. We can learn and know as much as God will give unto us because He'll not hold nothing back from you and I. Why, Pastor? Because we're sons and daughters of the Most High God. We're sons and daughters of Him. He's not going to hold nothing back against us. If He gave His one and only Son that you and I may have life and have it more abundantly, He's sure not going to hold anything back unto us because what God is connected to, He wants us to have all and all that we need in our spiritual walk with the Lord. He's wanting to give everything unto us because He's wanting to bless us physically, spiritually, financially, emotionally, mentally. He's not wanting to hold back nothing of us. All we need to do is fully surrender His Lordship and say, Lord, take charge, and Lord, I want to grow in grace, and I want to know and grow in the knowledge that You want to give me. And the only way that you and I can get that knowledge is that we have to grow in grace. And if we're not growing in grace, we cannot receive the knowledge. Because God says, grow in grace and knowledge. In other words, knowledge follows the grace that you and I are to have. I'm coming into my closing here. What you saw in Christ when you accepted Him compared to now, do you know more about God now than when you were saved? A greater desire for holiness in life. Philippians 3 and 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Third, in my closing, what are the means that God uses to help us grow in grace? What are the means that God uses to help us to grow in grace? First, He uses His Word. That's how you and I grow in grace, is the Word of God. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. You never outgrow your need for milk. And there's a new that you're coming every day. Look in the book first. He uses trouble and experience, as we see this in Romans 5. He uses the private devotional life in our life so that we may grow in grace. He uses public worship as we have today and service in us growing in grace. He uses the fellowship of the believers, us coming together. That's why the Bible says it's very important for us to unite ourselves together, that we assemble, never forsake the assembling of ourselves, that we come together in the bond of love, that we see each other, we pray with each other, we encourage one another. These are ways that we will grow even in grace. How our needs are met by others, as we see in 1 Corinthians 12. What friendships and fellowships do to us. When we develop these things, the question will be, are you growing? Are you growing? And ask yourself, if you're not growing, why aren't you not growing? Are you growing? And if you're not growing, ask yourself, why am I not growing? There are times that the Apostle Paul lets us know that even with we as Christians, if we're not growing, the Bible says for us to examine ourselves, to make sure we're of the faith, make sure that we're communicating with the Lord, make sure that we're getting in a direction that's not a wrong turn, but that we're on the right road and where we're getting. Doesn't mean that we're there yet, but we're making sure we're on the right road. A lot of us maybe could be on the wrong road, but that's where we have to take inventory in our walk with God and say, Lord, you know, I want to be on the right road. I want to move forward, Lord. But the question would be, Lord, I'm really needing to work in this area. Or I'm really needing to work on that area. Or I'm not really growing in this area. I'm not growing because of this. Or I'm not. That's one of those things that we have to take inventory of ourselves. Because I can't grow it for you. You can't grow it for me. Every one of us, including your pastor, have to grow ourselves. Now, we've got people that will encourage us. We've got people that will pray for us. We've got people that will help us. But in actuality, you have to grow. Why? Because your roots is going to have to go deep. My roots are going to have to go deep. And those roots have to go in that ground, because if not, you will not withstand the things that the enemy is going to bring to you. Now, you may say, well, Pastor, I'm not dealing with any problems. My family's doing great. I'm doing great. My job's doing great. Everything is great, and everything is getting, and that's great. That's great. But there may come a time that things may hit your house that you're unaware of. And the question will be, where is my roots at? Am I in the soil enough? Am I spiritually in it deep enough that when something comes my way, will I be able to handle this? Will I be prepared to know what to do? That's why I'm sharing with you today, is that God is wanting us to grow, so that when storms do come in our lives, we won't drown. We won't falter. But we'll know that God is with us because you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand with me across the building today.